Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
What up, everybody? It's B. Mitch and Finley. It's Thursday morning. So much to discuss.
Is it Finley or Friendly?
It's Finley. It's Finley. I promise.
I think it's Friendly.
Packed show today. Brian, I don't know if you're ready for this, but it's time for a Cam Newton conversation.
Hey, let's have it.
We're going to have it.
I cannot wait.
Peter Schrager does a great job and laid out a case on Good Morning Football why Cam to Washington could make a lot of sense. I did a little digging on my end. I have some information I'll share a little later in the show. I'm not sure that's going to happen, but we're going to dig into what makes sense, what doesn't, and if it's something, what I really want to hear is what callers think should happen.
Yeah.
About Cam Newton. We're also going to talk to John Clayton, the professor of the NFL, see what he thinks about Washington's quarterback search and what else is going to happen around this team. You got Brandon Scherff. You got a lot to discuss out there. Mm-hmm. 1:30, our friend Peter Rosenberg is going to join us. Packed show. Tonight, we got Penguins playing the Capitals, Wizards playing the Nuggets. I was listening to Mike Rizzo on the Junkies earlier.
Yeah.
Love hearing what's coming out of Florida spring training-wise. Love hearing that Patrick Corbin feels healthy and a lot of these pitchers, because the Washington Nationals are going to make their money over the course of a long season with really good pitching.
Yeah, well, that was on the mound.
That's what we're going to need.
And the bullpen has to be stellar as well.
Tell you what, just saw a tweet, B. The power struggle is real in Seattle between Russ Wilson and Pete Carroll.
Ooh.
Eee.
Ooh.
Eee.
I saw a thing yesterday. They were trying to downplay that. Like, it's not as serious as it is, but you know when you hear that coming out after hearing the weeks of rumbling, you always know that it's a little bit more. And listen, man, Russell is an unbelievable quarterback. Do you think that they did what they needed to do to protect him last year, though? I know he's a magician on the football field, but damn, when you expect him to do it all the time instead of just blocking, you know?
Yeah.
The things that they did well, and then you look at the time when they had a very good defense, I don't know if they ever get that level of a defense again. And Russell's salary may be a part of that, you know? But then again, if you don't have a quarterback who can, you know, be Houdini – and always have you in a game, does that defense, you know, if you don't have that type of defense, then how bad is that team?
Well, and I also wonder specifically to Russell Wilson, for a long time, their offense was run first, and Russ didn't get to kind of be creative and show his magician qualities, like you mentioned, at least until later in the game. But they got away from that last year, and they were letting Russ do his thing. And part of that magical quality is that sometimes he probably holds on to the ball too long and runs around a little too much. I mean, if you look at the sack totals the last 3 years, they are high. 51 sacks in 2018, 48 sacks in 2019, 47 last year. He's getting beat up.
Yeah, and I think you look at it, he can't drop back 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, or 5 and throw the ball most times. Most of their stuff is to throw it down the field. So his creativity is what makes that goals. And if he's getting sacked, it's because eventually, if you keep running around, somebody's going to catch you. But sure, if you get a little bit more protection around him, things change up a little bit. they got away from the running game because of injuries throughout. I mean, the one that running back got hurt early. Other guy got banged up. Then they come back. But still, I think they consistently tried to throw the ball down the field. Metcalf and everybody else, they wanted to have the big plays. And a lot of that puts your quarterback in harm's way.
I love Russ. I think he throws the prettiest deep ball in the NFL. Just that high arcer. But I just, it's something to watch, but it just seems like nothing's going to actually happen there. Don't you think?
In Seattle?
Yeah.
I think it's at a point where, yeah, they have some upset stuff, some rumbling. But I've watched Pete Carroll over the years, too. Pete Carroll is smart enough to understand, you know what, I'm going to get this solved. You know, and I think Russell hasn't gotten to a point where it's like, look, I'm just done here. I don't see that. So I kind of agree with you that they're going to get this thing worked out.
Well, Washington's got their own decision to make, and everybody's focused on quarterback. But one thing I wanted us to discuss, B. Mitch, before we dig into all the quarterback stuff, and I talked with a source close to Alex Smith last night. I have some info I want to share there. Kind of about his GQ comments and how everybody reacted to that. But I want to start with John Allen. Mm-hmm. Washington's got a bit of a conundrum here with John Allen. He's played 4 seasons for the organization. They drafted him with the 17th overall pick in 2017. He's been good. Mm-hmm. Now, remember that rookie year he missed 11 games. He got injured pretty early on and missed the remainder of the season. But in the last 3 years, he's only missed 1 game. He's been a good football player for them. So they did what all teams do with good young players, first rounders. They picked up the 5th-year option.
Yeah.
So they have him 1 more year. But they kind of are in a spot where you either try to get an extension done now or John Allen next year will be facing free agency. We know these new TV deals are about to hit. Free agency is going to be through the roof. You know how we always talk about the possible makeup sex coming in the United States once everybody gets vaccinated and people get to go back out into the world?
Everybody's been in a house with each other. They're not having that already?
I mean figurative.
Or, I know what you're saying.
The analogy is the world is going to explode with happiness once they're able to get back out there. That's going to be the free agent market in 2022 in the NFL.
I'm with that.
Because they have to drop the salary cap this year after all the COVID losses with no fans in the stands and revenues dipped. But that thing's going to skyrocket next year because of the new money coming in from the TV deal. And eventually you get fans back in the stands. They're buying beers. They're paying for parking. The money will return, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of now or never, because next year, if John Allen gets to free agency, you might be talking about, I can't even imagine what the numbers would look
like. But think about it,
15,
though,
16, 17 million.
A lot more money in the salary cap to spend.
Sure.
Can you justify it at that point?
Well, that's my question about trying to get it done now.
Mm-hmm.
Wrote
but see,
this
the
morning.
Thing about it, that's kind of like the trading Peter John Ramos for Shaq. I think his team is smart enough not to sign a deal right now.
Guaranteed.
An agent would say, why right now? I mean, the deal is coming up. They're going to sign this contract based off of what we look at a salary cap now.
It's a great point.
It's going to go up because the TV deal we know is going. We hear all these people talk, oh, man, the TV companies, they're not letting that cash cow go. So it's going to go up. So you sign a 1-year deal, you just wait.
Well, he's on a 1-year deal.
So, and what they did by taking up that 5th year was the best thing could have happened for him.
That's interesting. So you don't think if Washington called with an extension, you don't even think
if Washington called with an extension, that's going to be definitely below what the market rate is. They're not going to offer the market rate right now for what the salary cap is. It's going to be definitely below the salary cap of next year if. You have any kind of good agent or attorney around you, they say, hang the phone up.
There you have it.
I understand how it goes and how it looks, but as I always say, when you have a deal going, it's always two sides. It'd be great for Washington to try and offer that. It'd be noble for them to come up and say, look, we're going to give you this deal. Now we'll give you a signing bonus and all that. Yeah, it sounds good. But next year, I'm automatically below market rate when that new deal hits. Because it's at 185 is the basement right now, 180, 185. What if the basement is 210, 215 next year? So if the basement would be 210, 215, what the hell is the ceiling? You know what I mean?
Totally.
So I just think that that's a situation where, and then again, he's from this area. He may not want to go anywhere. He may see it like some people see it as like, you know what? 18, 19, 17 million, what's the difference? I'm at home around my people. I could do it like that. Now, I would make the offer based off of that fact. We could see if we can get him off the sentimental mindset.
So I think at some point, you've also got to start looking at long-term roster construction, mm-hmm. right? You got to be playing to win. Coaches, scouts, everybody's got to be playing to win in 2021. But you've also got to wonder what this thing looks like by the time you get to 2023. And so I'm looking at this, Brian, and you've got for four straight years, they drafted a first rounder on the D-line.
Yes.
Allen, Payne, Sweat, Young. Mm-hmm. Payne, 2 years younger than Allen.
Yep.
And has less tread on the tires from Alabama. Allen played four seasons. Payne only played three. I think Payne is where you try to get an extension done. And maybe it's this time next year when you know what the new cap's going to be. Because Payne's only playing the fourth year of his rookie deal now. I think eventually, tell me if you think I'm wrong. I think eventually Chase Young's going to be the highest paid defensive player in the NFL.
I agree.
Right? I mean, that's where this is tracking. I think that's going to happen.
But see, the thing of it is when you – this is the – just like I just heard Bruce Arians talking, okay? And he was saying the thing about trying to keep their whole team together. But he also he kind of finished that by saying, we don't score enough points, so we got to stop other people from scoring, which he's saying, that Chris Godwin, we want you back. But it's more important to get the defensive players. But when you draft 4 years in a row, first round, on the same side of the ball, you know eventually you're going to come to a point where all those guys within a year or two are going to be coming up for that big deal. You can't keep them all. So you're going to either keep half of them and use the other half of them to build your team. So when they come to that point of signing that second big deal, do you try and trade? You let them hit the free agent market? What? I think you try to get some of them to move on within the last year or so. Because now you can add yourself some other people and begin to build while still having the others there. And if you pay Chase is going to probably be here for the long haul. He's that guy who becomes, you know, your face.
Sure.
You know, so you can build around that. But I know as they draft him, or I would hope they knew it's going to come a point where we can't keep everybody. So you got to have a plan of how you're going to use the people that you don't keep to benefit your squad.
Well, and I think with Allen, especially as we've had these trade conversations, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a guy that another team would want. Whether he's the star some people think he is here, or he's just a good player that helps your defensive line,
mm-hmm.
that has tremendous value. But I also think there's a situation where you could be looking at just compensatory picks if you let him walk. And maybe that nets you an extra third or fourth, depending on the deal he signs.
Yeah.
And it's not sexy, but it's valuable.
And if you have the right people in place in scouting, and which I think they do now, I think that they've improved all that. If you have the right people in place, then those second and third round picks, fourth round pick, even the sixth, seventh, becomes even more valuable because you're now picking the right people instead of just picking somebody because, oh, sounds good. Like people, back in the day, we draft guys. Three receivers in the first round, in the second round, okay? One comes with a knee already messed up. The other one, we don't know what he's going to be doing. Another one had off the field. He didn't know if he was going to be focused on the field or not.
He's tired.
Does that seem like they had a plan or they knew what they were doing? Or was it because of schools that they went to? So what if you were to go
in Oklahoma,
we had
an
Oklahoma, a Michigan State, and a USC.
Yeah.
Okay? So what if somebody comes in and drafts somebody from UAB? University of Louisiana Lafayette, and then one comes from Texas, and they're in the third, fourth, fifth round, but they end up being outstanding players for you. That's what you think that the brain trust this time can do for you. So, I said over and over again, teams aren't built by just first and second rounders. Teams become great because your third, fourth, fifth, your undrafted free agents that you pick up, they hit.
And I'd add that your free agents hit.
Yeah.
That you sign guys that work for you.
You don't sign. Listen, man. We all have that mindset that we see something, we like it. But that's that little saying, everything that look good ain't good. So a lot of times, that sexy pick doesn't work. And normally we want sexy picks who are already set in their ways. I want the pick that may not be as sexy that I feel like, okay, I could add a little something to that. I'm going to help it out, make it look better. And then you begin to invest in it. Then all of a sudden, they learn the ways that you want it to be. And things work so much easier than trying to break something. Listen, when I went to Philly, they ended up getting a guy who had a damn bone to pick, had a chip on the shoulder. So I was willing to listen. What if I had gone up there and said, look, this is how I've always done it for 10 years. I don't have the success that I did. But you don't always get those type of people, especially in this day and age, when a free agent comes in 5-6 years down the road, they don't want to change up. This is how I've always done it. This is how I'm going to do it. Then they pissed off at the coaches.
Well, and circling that back to not specifically John Allen, but the Washington defensive line, I know for a fact that there was some reluctance to change what they knew from the old system, especially with Coach Jim Tomsula, to what Jack Del Rio and Ron Rivera's new system was. I know there was some butting of heads there.
Uh-huh.
And that kind of stuff matters too.
That may have had a big deal to do with the fact that they were very inconsistent when it came down to stopping a run.
Especially early on.
Yeah.
Especially the first half of the year.
If you had listened to the guys coming in and everybody was learning it on the same level, same pace, maybe they would have been. Because we can say this. When you look at the people that are standing there, just the eye test, this team is loaded with talented people based off the eye test. And they also are loaded with talented people based off of how they produce. But if one guy is trying to do it the way that Jack and the new people want him to do it, and the other guy's still trying to do them Tomsula, you leave gaps. You actually leave gaps that you could put an 18-wheeler through like they were happening last year sometimes. So I just think that when they get the thing, everybody on the same page with that talented of a group, that's how you become outstanding. But you can what you're saying and what we saw, it shows why the inconsistencies were there.
I mean, from week 2 to week 6, they gave up at least 130 rush yards a game. Now, eventually that settled way down, and it's worth pointing out that they played Kyler Murray in that stretch, Lamar Jackson in that stretch. Still, that's too much.
Yeah.
Too much.
I'm just saying, it's just like we talk about all types of things. It's about being consistent at stuff. I just saw something driving here with Deion Sanders. He's at coaching at Jackson State. And one of his things he was talking about, we have a bunch of people with a lot of talent, skills, all these things, but are you going to be willing to do that stuff consistently, doing the exact same thing over and over and over again to where it becomes second nature to you? You know, we start this show, you and I. We've done TV together. We're friends. It's that. We've never done radio together. But ultimately, the whole thing about it is same common goal to try to accomplish something. You know, we don't agree with everything, which is a good thing. And a lot of things we do agree with. We like to yell at each other. Well, I like to yell at you. But the whole thing about it is you have to find a way where people are moving at the same pace on assignment, same accord, to be able to make the things as good as you want it to be.
I yell at you on occasion.
Yeah, when you're in like another room or something like that.
when there's glass between us. Two quick things, and I know we got to take a break, Landfill. The TV on in the producer's room has NFL Network on. And they're showing J.K. Dobbins highlights, wearing 27 with the Ravens in the all-black uniforms. Damn if it doesn't look exactly like Ray Rice.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. The other thing is we got plenty to discuss on Alex Smith when we come back. Right here, 106.7 The Fan.
I love betting on basketball because I'm always finding new player props or game props that I like. And what's cool about FanDuel Sportsbook is you can combine these props with other bets for the same game to score an even bigger payout. It's called Same Game Parlay Bet, and you can only find them on FanDuel. See, what I like to do is normally take the point spread, Then I'll go and I'll take the over-under. And then I find a player who I truly, truly like. And a lot of times it could be with how many three-pointers they're going to get, how many points they're going to get, how many rebounds they're going to get. You do those things and you put it together, you have a chance of winning a lot more money. And right now, new and existing users can get up to $25 back each day if your parlay falls one leg short with same-game parlay insurance. You heard that right, every day. I mean, if you go out there, you put a five-bet parlay, and you miss one, you get $25 back. You bet $25, guess what? You get all your money back right there. And that's why I love it, because FanDuel gives you opportunity to keep your money and also win a lot. So just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today to try a same-game parlay and use promo code Brian at sign up. That is promo code Brian, B-R-I-A-N. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of Radio.com and 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years or older. Be present in Virginia. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund is $25. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
B. Mitch and Finley, Thursday morning. I can't help. Is it Road Trip I think of with this song? Is that right? Landfill?
No idea where you're going, buddy.
Me neither.
I think in Road Trip they play this when they're like going crazy.
Thumbs Up from Dar.
Is that right, Dar?
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for that. Somebody supported me. All right. Lots to discuss. We're going to talk Cam Newton. We're going to talk
Alex
Smith.
Sometime without a ride. Hey, somebody come along with me. You're doing 60. We can't jump on the car, man.
It's a little dangerous. I want to talk about this Russell Wilson stuff because it seems to be moving faster than it seems to be going down the 60, and I'm not sure anybody's going to be able to jump on the car, B. Mm-hmm. So a new report from The Athletic says that there's a real rift developing between the Seahawks and Russell Wilson, specifically with Pete Carroll, and they cite a Thursday night game against the Cardinals where Wilson approached the coaching staff with some plans to fix the offense, but his suggestions were dismissed and Wilson stormed out of the room. That ain't good.
It's not good. And listen, before anybody calls in here or even think about, well, they're the coaches. You're supposed to listen. This is the NFL. These are professional athletes. And I think you've heard every coach say that what we do every week with offense is we do what makes the quarterback comfortable. You have a Pro Bowl quarterback, MVP caliber quarterback. I know he hasn't won it, but he still was MVP caliber. And you don't listen to nothing he says about fixing an offense? And what happens a lot of times is head coach sides with who? I picked that quarterback coach. I picked that offensive coordinator. So I got to defend them. What the player says may just work. And that is why when y'all hear me speak about people like Andy Reid, well, let me go first. We'll put it in the right order. Joe Jackson Gibbs, then Andy Reid, and even David Culley from college. You know why? Because those guys listen to their players. If my players are comfortable doing what I'm trying to make them do and they bring something to me and tell me it's better, hell, they play at 100 miles per hour. We have a lot more success. I told you before, Andy would say, draw up some plays and let me see what you got. And then later on, he's using the damn plays in the game. You talk about making somebody have some ownership in something, but you get another coach would say, oh, we don't want to hear that. You tell that to the quarterback and he has any influence, you got major problems.
Well, how about this? It's reported that a third of the NFL has reached out to the Seahawks to figure out the cost to acquire Russell Wilson.
Mm-hmm. Why? Because other people say, we wish we had that eraser on our team.
Absolutely. And they're saying 3 first-round picks is generally seen as the starting point for a trade offer. Listen, we're going to open up the phones here. 800-636-1067. AAA, always on call listener line, is now open. Commence calling in and telling us they should trade for Russell Wilson because I'm pretty sure it's going to happen. 800-636-1067.
It's a lot, but it's less than Deshaun.
That's the interesting part. A third of the NFL has already called.
And all the NFL called about Deshaun.
Well, and if you remember, We had Jason LaCanfora on this here radio show maybe a week and a half ago, and he said Washington is monitoring what's going on in Seattle.
Yep.
Well, according to this report, again, this is from The Athletic, Wilson has grown so frustrated with the Seahawks and Pete Carroll's style that his camp has broached potential trade destinations. That list includes Dolphins, Jets, Saints, Raiders.
Dolphins, Jets is going to pop up in every trade offer because they have the most to give. Okay? Saints, you're leaving one legend. You could go to a imagine what Russell could do on that damn turf with, eight home games a year.
Sean Payton's offense.
And Sean Payton.
All Pete Carroll wants to do is run the ball, play defense, don't turn it over, let's grind out some wins.
That's
Sean Payton wants to put up 75 a game.
Yeah, Russell Wilson and Kamara in the same backfield.
And I'm getting hot.
The Raiders, I think the Raiders have a lot of draft capital as well because all of those trades and things that they did, like you go all the way back to the pass rush in Chicago. They got a lot from that. Yeah, they got a lot from Khalil.
The Raiders presumably would get a lot of trade capital because they'd give up on Carr. Maybe give up's the wrong word.
They'd give up on Carr.
But you'd have to trade Derek Carr.
But what they get for Carr is not going to be what they have to give up. But they already have a lot of stuff now. They have stockpiled over these last few years.
Here's the other question, too. Who do you want more, Russ Wilson or Deshaun Watson? And let's point out the obvious. Deshaun's way younger. Deshaun's 25, Russ is 32.
That's the reason you push towards Russ. I mean, Deshaun, because he's much younger. But I don't like. That's kind of like saying, all right, I want that new Lamborghini, but a Ferrari ended up in my yard. You know what I'm saying? I'm not pissed at either one of them.
Sure.
You know? I like the new thing. It's brand new. It came out. They're going to tell you, okay, I'm going to give you the 2022 Lamborghini. Or the 2021, which has no miles on it, Ferrari. I'll take either.
But I'll point this out. Russ Wilson has never missed a game in his career.
Yeah.
Deshaun, full season last year, played 15 the year before, full season in 2018, only played 6 in 2017. And I believe Deshaun had a knee injury at Clemson as well.
Mm-hmm.
And those things may not matter 5, 7, 8, 10 years later. But just something to consider in the scenario. So Brian, let me ask you.
Yeah.
You're the GM of the Washington football team.
Mm-hmm.
It would cost you 3 picks and 3 players for Deshaun Watson, or let's say 4 picks for Russell Wilson. What would you rather do?
I'm leaning toward those 4 picks because I don't think the picks are going to be as high. When you look at Deshaun, it's going to be two first-rounders and probably a second.
Now, listen, this report says three firsts for Russ Wilson.
Okay. But see, 3 firsts, I'd rather give up 3 firsts than 2 firsts, a second, and 3 players that I know can help my team right now. That's a lot more. The draft picks, listen to me. I look at all draft picks the same, basically. Will they pan out or not? I understand some are first rounder, some are second round, some are third round. But a first rounder that don't pan out, guess what? That hurts your team a lot more. But when they start asking for actual players, and I know they come in for some of my better players, that scares me.
I mean, the point of getting a quarterback is winning, right? You're getting an established quarterback so you can go win games right away.
Yeah. You get an established quarterback without players on your team to help them, then you got issues.
Right. And I'd argue Russ has already done the do things without players. I don't think he wants to continue to do that. Mm-hmm. And I think he has, if this is really going to happen, I think he has significant leverage.
He might have more right now than I think Deshaun does. And the reason I say that is this. The team, the young all-star quarterback, compared to the guy who's a little older, you always seem to like lean towards youth a little bit more in professional sports.
Sure.
So it's been. So you hold on to that even more. The guy that's a little older, you're like, okay, well, you start thinking, you try to make yourself believe it by saying, well, he's older anyway. You know, his down year's about to come.
Well, and to that point, Russ and Pete Carroll have been together
since day one.
I mean, is it 10 years? They've been together a while.
Yeah.
I mean, we see this all the time.
You just got to get over it, man. You know, Tom and Bill Belichick argued for how many years?
Yeah, and Tom just won a Super Bowl in Tampa.
Yeah, but they argued for many years sure. before that. And sure. they won Super Bowls there together while they didn't see eye to eye all the time.
What did Michael Irvin say when we had him on the show? Hey, man, Joe Montana got traded. I mean, these things happen.
Hey, it happens, dog. Anybody could get traded.
And I think Houston, and you know that situation, that's someone you're tight with there. Mm-hmm. Houston is going to make every effort to make this right with Deshaun Watson. They have cleaned house and are relatively starting fresh to try to make things right with Deshaun Watson. Seattle's not getting rid of Pete Carroll. He's not going anywhere. I imagine, who do you think, not to mention they have an ownership situation, right? Seattle's up for sale.
I think they are.
Pete Carroll's not going anywhere. I mean, Belichick, Reed, Tomlin, Carroll, those guys aren't going anywhere. Huh. So if there's a beef between the coach and the quarterback, even a quarterback as good as Russell Wilson, maybe Seattle looks at it as, all right, it's time to kind of reload this thing. We got to find a new guy. Hmm. Right?
It's possible. But are they really ready to start doing that just yet?
I don't know. As someone who has lived in the quarterback abyss for 30 years, it's not something I recommend.
That's what I'm saying. Like, listen, you find a way. My question would be, what is your biggest gripe? You're tired of, okay, you and Pete have this issue. Why? Because Pete won't do what? If it's just because he's not protecting me, then as a general manager, I'm like, look, we draft an offensive lineman. We're going to address this situation. Because I hear people talk about quarterbacks all the time. And sometimes we give more credit to quarterbacks that don't deserve it than we do others. I would think you want to protect Russell Wilson. And I would think that you want to listen to what he's saying over some of these other people that we've defended ad nauseum.
For sure. I just think it's fascinating. If Russ is actually available, and it's starting to sound like he's available, that's a guy you got to go get. And the Deshaun Watson thing is very different because it's a complete unknown if he's actually going to be available. But it's funny, B, when people come to D.C. and they ask me, oh, what should I do? Anything you recommend? You know, I like walking around the Capitol at night. I think it looks so pretty at nighttime. I always tell people to go to Old Ebbitt. It's just a cool experience. You're right there by the White House. But I never tell people, oh, you should start rooting for the Washington football team. It's been terrific for the last 30 years.
No, gotta be truthful.
You got to find a quarterback could change that.
Yeah.
And Seattle has to know on some level that not having a quarterback leaves you in
could change it to what they've had. They've been competitive, and they've been in the know for the last
20 years?
8, 9 years or something?
I mean, even when they had Hasselbeck before that, when Holmgren was running Seattle, that team was pretty good. But when I was a kid, that was a terrible organization. Yeah. That was an outpost.
You don't want to go into the position where nobody even talks about you.
All right, we got to take a break. I think there's one team we're not talking about that could be a fit for Russell Wilson, and I think that could have a unique trickle-down effect for Washington football team as well. We're going to dig into that when we come back. 106.7 The Fan. B. Mitch and Finley here on 106.7 The Fan. In about 10 minutes, we're doing a deep dive into the Cam Newton situation surrounding the Washington football team. That's going to be juicy, juicy, juicy. Make sure you are following along the ride with me and B. Mitch on social media. I am at JP Finley NBCS everywhere. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. B, where are you?
I am B. Mitch Live NBCS on Twitter. I am B. Mitch 30. On Instagram, and just regular Brian Mitchell on Facebook.
There you go. We're talking about Russell Wilson. There's reports out of Seattle that Russ is getting serious about wanting to trade, and he's provided a list of teams he'd like to be traded to. Washington's not on that list, but that doesn't mean they can't be on that list. It also doesn't mean the list is complete. A lot of moving parts in all these sorts of discussions. Mm-hmm. I think two things. I've gotten some good
tweets on this, one from Dominic Orsini. Washington should give up for Russ in this year, the first and second. Next year, a first and third. And in 2023, give up a first. And he said he would do it in a heartbeat. That is three ones, a two, and a three. And that is five picks.
Yep.
I tell you what I would do. If it had to be this year, I would go one and three because they have two third rounders. So at least that keeps them in the second and the third round. And then if you got to go a couple more ones into the future, I understand.
Mm.
I do think, though, there's a team we're not thinking about that didn't get listed. Who's the only team in the NFCs you never played for, Brian?
Oh, Cowboys.
The Cowboys. You're telling me Jerry, in what appears to be the later stages of his career here, doesn't want Russell Wilson?
But how does he solve this? He's just released Dak Prescott?
Yeah. You know what? You know what the geniuses running the Washington Prescott, football team did for with him, Kirk Cousins? They got a comp pick and let him walk.
Okay. That's Kirk Cousins.
I get it.
He's not at Dak Prescott level, what people look at Dak that right now.
Totally agree. So, I'm just saying it's not unprecedented to let a quarterback walk.
But I'm saying is Jerry lets Dak walk, gets nothing, and then you have to give up everything for Russell. Does that make that team much better?
Why haven't they paid Dak?
Right now, I guess he's trying to use the excuse of the injury. Because Jerry is weird.
There appears to be a discrepancy, a gap between what the Cowboys organizationally think about Dak and what Dak knows he could get on the open market.
But they don't want – that's how most teams are going to handle you because they don't want him on open market. Then they'll know. The other teams see him a lot different, which if you want to be in that little dance, then you gotta pony up.
And again, I'm not comparing Kirk and Dak at all.
Mm-hmm.
But the situations contractually are incredibly similar. And you know what Washington did? They went and traded for an older veteran to solve their quarterback problem and let Kirk walk.
Mm-hmm.
If Dallas went and traded for Russell Wilson and let Dak walk, I mean, there is absolute historic precedent suggesting that this type of move isn't insane. Now, whether the move is right or wrong is debatable.
Yeah.
But it just happened. I mean, it just happened in 2018.
But I don't know if what happened in that time based off of this team is what people said as a precedent.
True.
I mean, but you get the historic parallels,
look what it
did
right?
for Washington. Really hadn't worked.
Totally. But you get what I'm saying, parallels,
I understand.
Right?
Yeah. I understand that. I can listen. Jerry is the type of person where, yeah, he'll go out there and try and get Russell. But I need them to solve this deal with Dak quickly. If they got another almost a week before they have to say franchise tag or not?
Like more like 2 weeks.
It started what, Monday?
Started Tuesday. They have till March 9th.
Okay. That pressure's going to start coming soon. We'll see.
Just got a great tweet. This is from R. Murphy, 615. He says, I'm throwing in an extra number one for Ciara. It's pretty strong.
Why would you throw in an extra one? That ain't going to do no good for you. You're not going to get to see her touch her.
I mean, you might get to see her. She probably comes to the game.
Yeah, but if a number one draft pick is going to be, you'll give a number one draft just to see somebody that you can't have no enjoyment with, what sense that make?
I kind of think he's kidding, Brian.
I know.
I don't think.
I'm kind of kidding, too.
I don't think. You think that's Martin Mayhew's burner?
Hell no.
that he's tweeting me about Ciara?
No.
I don't think so either. The question becomes Russ or Deshaun. If you're dreaming big, what do you dream of?
Most people are going to dream of Russell because he's proven. He's won. But I look at football as, how long can I have you in my franchise? And I think based off of the youth of Deshaun, people look at it that Deshaun can be somebody around for a lot longer. So my dream would be number four. And you know how much I respect.
I think they both were four.
I thought Russ was three, isn't he?
Oh, you're right. Sorry. Yeah. I was thinking of Dak and Deshaun.
Yeah. So I would look at Deshaun, but I'm saying the way guys take care of themselves and how they perform today, I can see Russell being a guy legitimately for six, seven, 8 years.
Brady just won at 43.
Yeah.
And I think Russ is in that same category of.
See, Russell used mobility a lot more in his game compared to what Brady does.
Totally. Totally. All right, we have to break. Lamphill's giving me the evil eye. When we come back, it's time to talk Cam Newton. And we're going to keep talking Russ and Deshaun.
Cam Newton.
Phone lines are open. AAA Always On Call listener line, 800-636-1067. Hit us up. Wait till you hear what Peter Schrager has to say about Washington. Cam Newton, right here, 1067.